Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is August 16, 2019. This edition is brought to you by Paycademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about: someone just hacked Binance Jersey's Twitter account. All crypto retirement accounts will be fined, Australian Tax Office. Binance's US arm to go live within 2 months, CEO says. Bakkt says it's cleared to launch Bitcoin futures next month. Australia, 100% crypto-invested retirement portfolios are illegal. Nvidia pulls through crypto winter quarterly earnings rise 16%. Brave browser adds access to new crypto wallets. ASX DLT system on track, says annual report. Crypto exchange Coinbase acquires Zappos institutional custody business. South Korea's Bit Island, Jeju, redoubles crypto efforts after losing regulatory bid. Man offering hacking services for Bitcoin gets 20-month jail sentence. Bitcoin price fear and greed index back to extreme fear, December 2018 lows. Moscow blockchain voting system completely insecure, says researcher. Bitcoin defends price support, but bear case still intact. This crypto asset doesn't exist yet, but soon you'll be able to stake it. A Big Four audit firm lost $1 million in Bitcoin. Victims are losing patience. China's digital fiat wants to compete with Bitcoin, but it's not a crypto. Now let's get started. Someone just hacked Binance Jersey's Twitter account. Binance Jersey's Twitter account was hacked by an anonymous Twitter user called at LightningNet09. According to tweets posted on Binance Jersey by the hacker is a security researcher claiming to operate with altruistic motivations. The hacking was confirmed via Binance Jersey's Telegram account. The hacker claims he could have used the successful hack to scam Binance Jersey users, particularly with a phishing scam. Binance Jersey is one of four independent branches of Binance, the world's largest cryptocurrency exchange by volume. Binance also operates exchanges in Malta, Singapore, and Uganda, with Binance US set to open within the next 2 months, according to a recent report. Linking to his Twitter account, the hacker asked Binance CEO Changpeng CZ Zhao to contact him directly. The Twitter hacking comes almost 3 months after a successful hacking of Binance's online exchange, costing the exchange over 7,000 Bitcoin. All crypto retirement accounts will be fined, Australian Tax Office. The Australian Tax Office, ATO, has sent out warning letters to investors who have placed the majority of their retirement savings in cryptocurrencies. As part of an ATO effort to warn against high-risk retirement investment strategies, 18,000 holders of self-managed super funds, SMSFs, a type of retirement account privately managed by individuals, were told they face penalties up to $4,200 for breaching regulations, according to local media reports. While the letter targeted any SMSF holder with over 90% of their retirement savings in a single asset, primarily in property, the ATO also singled out cryptocurrencies as a high-risk investment. We have already seen two instances of SMSFs losing significant amounts of their retirement savings through investment in cryptocurrency, an ATO spokesperson told the Australian news site Mickey. To be clear, it's not the asset class itself the agency warns against, but being highly overexposed in any one asset. The Australian Securities and Investments Commission, ASIC, takes a similar line. Be wary of services offering to establish an SMSF for you in order to gain exposure to cryptocurrencies. Not only does operating an SMSF involve significant time, skills and responsibility, you may also be putting your retirement savings at risk. Neither the ATO or ASIC responded to requests for comment by press time. Notably, the U.S. Internal Revenue Service, IRS, sent a round of letters to crypto investors this week. Binance's U.S. arm to go live within 2 months, CEO says. The dedicated U.S. arm of cryptocurrency exchange Binance will go live by November, according to Binance's CEO. Changpeng CZ Zhao told Cheddar in an interview on Wednesday that, while the situation is still in flux, he expects the new platform would go live in a month or two. Due to uncertainties over the U.S. regulatory situation, Binance barred state side customers from using its global platform Binance.com in mid-June, a day after revealing that it would launch the new U.S. division in partnership with a firm called BAM Trading Services. The new platform will be run by BAM, but use Binance's wallet and matching engine technologies. Catherine Coley, a former Ripple executive, will lead the launch and future growth of Binance US as CEO, as announced in early July. In the interview, CZ further said that the US exchange will not initially operate in New York State, which sets a high bar for crypto firms applying for its BitLicense. Neither Binance nor BAM have yet applied for a BitLicense, and Coley would not comment on the possibility when asked by Cheddar. The U.S. historically has made very clear regulations, so we hope that will clear up, CZ said, adding that, despite the regulatory uncertainties currently, we're willing to try. Bakkt says it's cleared to launch Bitcoin futures next month. Bakkt has been cleared to launch. The Intercontinental Exchange's young subsidiary announced Friday that it had acquired a New York State Trust Charter through the New York State Department of Financial Services, NYDFS. The approval clears the way for the company to begin offering its highly anticipated physically settled Bitcoin futures contracts. The company intends to launch its products on September 23. Bakkt, first unveiled last August, has been working on regulatory approvals to begin offering the product over the past year. It intends to offer two types of contracts, a daily and a monthly contract. Both will be settled at the Bakkt warehouse, a part of its New York chartered trust company. In a blog post Friday, Bakkt CEO Kelly Loeffler wrote, "Our contracts have already received the green light from the CFTC through the self-certification process, and user acceptance testing has begun. With approval by the New York State Department of Financial Services to create Bakkt Trust Company, a qualified custodian, the Bakkt warehouse will custody Bitcoin for physically delivered futures," she said. "This offers customers unprecedented regulatory clarity and security alongside a regulated, globally accessible exchange in a market underserved by institutional-grade infrastructure." She went on to add, "Uniquely, Bakkt Bitcoin futures contracts will not rely upon unregulated spot markets for settlement prices, thus serving as a transparent price discovery mechanism for the benchmark price for Bitcoin. The importance of this differentiator is only amplified by reports of significant manipulative spot market activity, and other concerns such as inconsistent anti-money laundering policies and weak compliance controls." Australia, 100% crypto-invested retirement portfolios are illegal. The Australian Tax Office has issued warning letters to 18,000 self-managed super funds (SMSFs) for concentrating too much investment in one asset class. Under Australian law, it is illegal to use more than 90% of retirement funds on a single class, such as property or cryptocurrency, as reported by local news outlet, Mickey, August 16. Legally obliged to diversify your retirement portfolio. An SMSF involves an individual taking charge of their own retirement fund investment decisions, rather than relying on a professional fund manager. It is a major growth area for cryptocurrency businesses in the country, with a combined value of around $7 billion. But the tax office letters are reminding retirees that they have a duty to comply with legal requirements to adopt investment strategies avoiding risky investments. Failure to do so could see them face a fine of up to $4,200. Not that a cryptocurrency investment is inherently risky. The majority of those breaching the regulations are invested in property, but an increasing number are turning to cryptocurrency. Which is perfectly okay, as long as the 90% rule is adhered to. Australia actually has some of the most favorable laws around investing retirement funds into cryptocurrency. This is one of the reasons that Indian exchange, Zebpay, recently opened an office in the country. Zebpay CEO, Ajit Khurana said, "Australia happens to be the only developed country where retirement money, superannuation money, can very easily be invested into cryptocurrencies. But the message on investment diversification doesn't always get through. The Bitcoin Australia website incorrectly states that you can decide how much you would like to invest in crypto. This can be as little as 1% or as much as 100% of your super. It's completely up to you. A strongly worded letter from the tax office should clarify matters for all. Nvidia pulls through crypto winter quarterly earnings rise 16%. Major global chipmaker Nvidia, popular with cryptocurrency miners, has outstripped analysts' expectations with its latest set of quarterly financials. The firm's second quarter fiscal 2020, published on August 16, revealed $2.58 billion in revenue at earnings of $1.24 per share as compared with $2.2 billion in the preceding quarter. Still 17% down from crypto-driven highs. While the latest results reveal a solid 16% increase over the previous quarter, year-on-year revenue remains down by 17%. Nvidia had earned $3.12 billion during the same period for the fiscal year 2019 amid massive demand for GPUs from cryptocurrency miners. The firm's outlook for the forthcoming quarter is a higher revenue of $2.9 billion, give or take 2%. Alongside developments in its GPU output, the firm also highlighted the progress of its artificial intelligence business, as well as the ongoing profitability of its gaming business segment, which remains the main driver of its revenue. Buoyed by the latest quarterly results, Nvidia's stock, NASDAQ, NVDA, rose by 6.2%. Weathering the crypto seasons. This January, Nvidia had decreased its financial estimates for Q4 for the fiscal year of 2019, citing a decline in mining during the crypto bear market among its reasons. In December 2018, a class action lawsuit was launched against Nvidia over the losses reported by the company when lower crypto prices diminished demand for GPUs by miners. The extent of Nvidia's crypto-driven success during the market's historic bull run has been the subject of some controversy. Earlier this year, a financial analyst claimed that between April 2017 to July 2018 the firm had in fact raked in $1.35 billion more in revenue from mining-related sales than officially stated. During crypto winter this March, Nvidia said it would manage to sell off the surplus inventory it had accumulated in anticipation of continued mining-driven demand stock that CEO Jensen Huang had characterized as a crypto hangover. Brave browser adds access to new crypto wallets. More wallet features are on their way to the Brave browser. Support for native cryptocurrency wallets was added to Brave nightly per a posting yesterday in the official Brave subreddit, r/batproject. Brave nightly is a test and development version of the Brave browser. Brave's three-part marketing system rewards content creators, advertisers, and viewers through its native cryptocurrency, BAT. The update allows other cryptocurrency wallets, particularly MetaMask, to be used with Brave's BAT. All transactions first undergo Know Your Customer, KYC, requirements via Uphold, a wallet Brave partnered with for BAT. Lack of support for other Ethereum wallets like MetaMask or MyEther wallet has been a common complaint on Brave community threads since the token's launch. This bottleneck was self-designed, however. Brave wanted the cryptocurrency's use case, content creation tipping, to take off. More importantly, perhaps, are the KYC services Uphold provides. Speaking with CoinDesk, Brave co-founder and CEO Brendan Eich said KYC concerns remain a top priority due to regulatory concerns. Brave can't let fraud bots with ledgers or trezors take us to cleaners, and we have to avoid going to jail if some Office of Foreign Asset listed evildoer were to take out BAT that way, Eich said. BAT is compliant via Uphold, and I'll defend that decision readily by citing our growth numbers, publishers, and users. Eich said Brave added support for peer-to-peer wallets not to undercut regulators but lead the community forward. Adding wallet support helps adoption while keeping Brave's nose clean, Eich said. We have no illusions that raw crypto is not for most users. It is unusable and way too technical. We do want the users who are able to use it to have integrated crypto wallets in Brave. These users innovate and may collaborate with us, sites and channels, hardware wallet vendors, proxied full node services, and even their favorite blockchains at core protocol and implementation levels, to innovate beyond what we alone, or the blockchain projects alone, can do. We like lead users and provide extra options for them. The wallet update comes days after untargeted ads were added on Brave nightly for 21 new countries including Argentina, Denmark, Italy, Korea, and Singapore. ASXDLT system on track, says annual report. The Australian Securities Exchange (ASX) has released its full 2019 financial report, offering some insight into its upcoming distributed ledger-based settlement system. A project that was announced back in late 2017 after trials with blockchain tech had proved promising, the DLT platform is aimed to replace ASX's aging CHESS settlement system using technology built by New York-based Digital Asset, then under the leadership of Blythe Masters. The exchange said at the time it would build a similar payment messaging system to CHESS, but anonymized and accounted for on a distributed ledger, allowing a wide range of financial products that rely on automated settlement to be created. ASX's yearly results, published Thursday, indicate that work is on track to complete the system, likely in 2021, which will deliver upgraded security, resilience and performance for equity post-trade services. It will also offer new functionality over and above what is currently enabled by CHESS, with a new messaging ISO 20022 protocol, an international standard for financial services, that aligns with local and global standards. The document sets out that there will be an option for institutions to access the upcoming system by hosting their own DLT node. That, the ASX says, will offer synchronized and standardized data across the permissioned participants on the network, advanced auditing and data analytics. It will also enable the market to build new, innovative applications. The ASX also indicates that it's investigating DLT application use cases with multiple parties related to equities and more. As far as costs go, the ASX's capital investment in infrastructure, including the DLT system, have cost $75.1 million in financial year 2019. That also includes work on a new secondary data center, ASX Net Communications Infrastructure, a data analytics platform called ASX Datasphere, and an effort to speed up corporate transactions. Overall, the firm said it's had a strong 2019, with revenue at $863.8 million, up 6.5% on a like-for-like basis. Underlying profit after tax and expenses was $492 million, up 7.7% from 2018. Back in May, the ASX said it was already allowing clients to test its DLT system. Via a customer development environment, CDE, customers are able to connect to the system via a blockchain node and experiment with the tech. Once connected, users can design, build and test system changes, as well as access some of the new business functionality. Crypto exchange Coinbase acquires Zappos institutional custody business. Cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase has acquired the institutional business of cryptocurrency wallet and custody service provider Zappos. Coinbase said in an announcement on Thursday that the deal will help expand its custody business and will increase its assets under custody to be more than $7 billion. According to a Fortune report on Thursday, Coinbase acquired Zappos institutional business for $55 million after beating another strong contender, the investment giant Fidelity. Coinbase Custody's CEO Sam McKingvale indicated in the report that the exchange could look into crypto lending business in the future. Fundamentally, we have to help our investors earn a return on their assets. You can imagine lending out Bitcoin and earning interest on that, McKingvale was quoted as saying. Launched in 2013, Zappos is known for its wallet services including physical vaults stationed in Switzerland that are used to store customers' crypto assets in an offline environment to ensure the safety of private keys. Fortune's report added that with this deal, most of Zappos' biggest clients have already decided to move their crypto assets to Coinbase, which will now store more than 514,000 Bitcoin for Zappos customers, worth $5.3 billion at its current price. In May this year, Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong said at CoinDesk's Consensus 2019 event that Coinbase custody had just crossed $1 billion in assets under management at the time with 70 institutions. The report today said if Coinbase would be able to onboard remaining customers of Xapo, then its custody service will have more than 860,000 Bitcoin in total under custody, worth over $8 billion. In choosing Coinbase, we are confident that the institutional custody business is going to a company that can provide great insurance, borrowing and investment alternatives, said Xapo's founder and CEO Wences Casares. We believe that Coinbase will take this opportunity to prove to our customers that they deserve their business. South Korea's Bit Island, Jeju, redoubles crypto efforts after losing regulatory bid. After losing out to Busan in the competition to be declared Korea's blockchain regulation-free zone, Jeju Island is redoubling its efforts to stay in the game, according to a report in the Jeju Island Daily News. The island, which lies 282 miles south of Seoul and is also a province, announced on August 13 the establishment of the Global Blockchain Hub City Development Research Service, in which it will be investing 175 million won, $145,000, for research running through December. The modest project will be carried out by Tylon, a Seoul-based company specializing in secure virtualization. Established in 2001, the company often works with local governments and a wide variety of public institutions. Under the terms of the agreement, Tylon will analyze possible blockchain services suitable for the island and develop a model for blockchain on Jeju. A roadmap will be delivered. As part of the engagement, Tylon will examine advances in the US and the UK. The goal of the project is to establish the island as another hub for blockchain in South Korea. Jeju is in a unique position to achieve the relevant developments. Under a special deal with the national government, it has been self-governing since 2006. No other province has that designation. Jeju has considerable freedom in terms of local administration and legislation and has ambitions to use its autonomy to become a free international city. In recent years, blockchain and crypto have become central to the island's plans. The modified Second Comprehensive Plan Jeju Free International City, published in February 2017, makes specific reference to the creation of a virtual currency. Since South Korea's Financial Services Commission banned ICOs in September 2017, Jeju has been attempting to use its special status as a way to circumvent the regulation and become the country's only area for these offerings. In 2018, Governor Won Hee-ryong was re-elected on a pro-ICO platform. In March 2019, the island established the Jeju Blockchain Smart City Composition Association, JBCSCCA, and the possibility of a crypto exchange was discussed, to be called Bit Island. But little has come of the island's many efforts, and Jeju was passed over as the country's chosen blockchain hub just last month. Other areas, such as Seoul City, are also pushing their own programs and threaten to eclipse Jeju in terms of blockchain initiatives. Man offering hacking services for Bitcoin gets 20-month jail sentence. A British man has been handed 20 months in jail and ordered to forfeit over $400,000 for offering hacking services and stolen private data in return for cryptocurrency. 19-year-old Elliot Gunton was sentenced at Norwich Crown Court on Friday, having pleaded guilty at a previous hearing, according to a local police news report. Police had found evidence on Gunton's laptop that he had offered to supply compromised personal data of individuals to others for them to use for criminal purposes. The information included mobile phone numbers which could be used to intercept calls and texts in order to commit crimes. Gunton was further discovered to be advertising hacking services in exchange for $3,000 in Bitcoin. While he had taken efforts to conceal his activity, police found portions of online chats in which Gunton discussed his criminal activity. Officers also tracked and seized $275,000 in cryptocurrency held by Gunton. Probably unwisely, he had tweeted via one of his online identities at Gambler saying, "Having lots of money is cool. But having lots of money without people knowing is cooler." The police said they had discovered the criminal activity during a routine visit to ensure Gunton was complying with a sexual harm prevention order imposed in 2016 for earlier offenses. Detective Sergeant Mark Stratford said, Gunton was exploiting the personal data of innocent businesses and people in order to make a considerable profit, but he did not succeed in hiding all of his ill-gotten gains, which enabled us to seize hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of Bitcoin. Gunton was charged with breaching the sexual harm prevention order, hacking offenses and money laundering, the police report said. While sentenced to 20 months jail time, Gunton was immediately released as he had already served his sentence while in custody. However, he must hand over 407,359 in ill-gotten gains and must comply with a 3.5-year community behavior order restricting his use of the internet, browsers, VPNs, and cloud storage. He must also not use cryptocurrency, digital wallets, or exchanges without informing police and passing over all details and addresses. Bitcoin price fear and greed index back to extreme fear, December 2018 lows. Bitcoin investors are no longer as buoyant as they were 3 months ago, judging by the latest readings from the Crypto Fear and Greed Index, CFGI. On August 14, the Bitcoin-only index, which plots investor sentiment on a scale of 1 to 100, where 1 represents doom and foreboding and 100 indicates blithe optimism and greed, hit its lowest levels since December 2018. Today, fear, yesterday, extreme fear just under 3 months ago, in late June, Bitcoin, BTC, investors had seemingly hit a level of unbridled optimism, with the CFGI reporting readings of as high as 95. As of press time, the index is reporting a level of 31, having plunged as low as 11 on August 14. These are levels not seen since December 2018, in the depths of crypto winter when Bitcoin was trading not much higher than $3,000 a coin. Historical CFGI data reveals that the tipping point from greedy optimism to anxiety occurred on July 10-12, when sentiment dropped from 84 to 33 in just 48 hours. This coincides with a sharp drop from nearly $13,000 to under $11,600 in that same time frame. Over the course of the past 30 days, the highest value reported by the index has been 64, representing a fleeting recovery in sentiment during several days in early August. FUD or a buying opportunity? The index's creators note that a low reading often, in fact, represents a buying opportunity, whereas high-flying sentiment may be a sign that a market correction is due. The index reportedly draws on 5 data points: volatility 25%, market momentum and volume 25%, social media 15%, surveys 15%, and Bitcoin BTC dominance 10%. Noting that the CFGI has been relatively accurate at pinpointing bottoms or nearabouts on the daily, macroeconomist and trader Alex Kruger tweeted defiantly, "Are you afraid? I am not," adding that the next key level for Bitcoin is at $10,300 minus $10,325. As reported this month, a recent machine learning-based study of over 48,000 Reddit posts and 7,500 crypto, blockchain-related articles from different media platforms revealed that the overwhelming majority of Reddit posts, 85%, were positive. Conversely, articles published by various mainstream media publications were, for the large part, dismissive of the crypto industry. Moscow blockchain voting system completely insecure, says researcher. A blockchain-based system that will be used to allow Moscow residents to vote in municipal elections this autumn is very easy to hack, according to a research note from a French cryptography expert. Titled, Breaking the Encryption Scheme of the Moscow Internet Voting System, the paper by Pierrick Gaudry, a researcher from French governmental scientific institution CNRS, looked at the encryption scheme used to secure the public code of the Moscow city government's Ethereum-based e-voting platform. Gaudry concluded that encryption scheme used in part of the code is completely insecure, explaining, it can be broken in about 20 minutes using a standard personal computer, and using only free software that is publicly available. More precisely, it is possible to compute the private keys from the public keys. Once these are known, any encrypted data can be decrypted as quickly as they are created. To be clear, the issue is not with the Ethereum code used as a basis for the platform. The encryption used in the Moscow system, the researcher said, is a variant of ELGAMAL and uses keys that are less than 256 bits long. This is way too short to guarantee any security, Gaudry said. As stated on the city administration's website, voters from three constituencies can choose to use the system to elect deputies to the Moscow City Duma, or parliament, on September 8. For the trial effort, the site claims, Moscow electronic elections guarantee complete anonymity and secrecy of the vote. No one can associate an electronic return with the name of the voter. In fact, Gaudry said, in the worst-case scenario, the poor level of encryption at present would mean details of all voters' choices would be revealed to anyone as soon as they cast their vote. He added though that, not having read the protocol for the system, the consequences of a potential hack are hard to pinpoint. To be fair to the development team, the system had been the subject of a public intrusion test aimed to spot any such issues late in July, with Gaudry using the source code made available on GitHub. Gaudry did reach out to the Moscow Department of Information Technology team developing the voting system about the security weakness. They acknowledged that the cryptographic keys are not currently sufficiently secure, and said they would be upgraded to 1024 bits soon. This crypto asset doesn't exist yet, but soon you'll be able to stake it. Perlin hasn't even had the token generation event for its Pearl cryptocurrency, and already a leading staking as a service startup has agreed to add it to the list of assets it supports. Staked, which has the backing of some of the most notable funds in crypto, including Pantera, Winklevoss Capital and Coinbase Ventures, helps holders of proof of stake tokens maximize their returns. Its new listing, Pearl, allows access to a suite of applications designed to aid the international trade and trade finance industry, which is still very much bogged down by paperwork, according to Perlin CEO Dorji Sun. If you were to send a container to Indonesia, it takes 2 days for the container to go but 5 days for the paperwork, Sun explained in call with CoinDesk from Singapore. Sun said the Singapore-based company raised $50 million last year from investors that include Arrington XRP Capital, FBG, Blocktower Capital and Global Brain. Grassroots consensus. Underlying Pearl is the Perlin-built Wavelet blockchain, which maintains consensus across various records held in Perlin's logistics applications. Wavelet was designed to use what it calls leaderless proof-of-stake consensus. That is, one in which even users with small stakes have a chance to benefit from participating in the network's consensus. A very simple way to think about how it works, according to Perlin, is to imagine thousands of nodes tracking transactions as they come in. Wavelet randomly surveys and resurveys nodes at each block to verify that everyone agrees. That way, it doesn't have to default to the largest holders of its cryptocurrency, ensuring the rich get richer and shutting out the small-time Pearl holder. Consensus rewards come from transaction fees paid by users of Perlin's applications. The current economic model of Perlin is fixed with its initial supply 1,033,200,000 Pearl. It's currently selling a little under 86,530,500 Pearl on Binance Launchpad, with a hard cap of $6.7 million. Because Binance uses a lottery system, Perlin will distribute an additional 3,874,500 Pearl to Launchpad participants that do not come out with a winning ticket, in an airdrop. That said, Sun explained that Pearl is also a governance token, and if users want to change the economic model later, such as creating some kind of inflationary mechanism, they can do so. Multi-pronged democratization. While the company argues it's not resource-intensive to run a Wavelet node, the company also believes joining a network like Staked further enhances its openness, by providing an option to take part for users who don't have the wherewithal, in time, skill or equipment, to set up a node. For more technically minded users, though, Wavelet is built to work with WebAssembly. Not only does this make participating in consensus easier, but it opens up decentralized applications to almost any developer doing work with today's internet. Vincent Zhou, founder of FBG Capital, said in a press release that both companies were inviting more people into crypto. I believe their immense contributions to the space will raise up the entire ecosystem, Zhou said. Staked by making staking dead easy for investors and Perlin by vastly simplifying smart contract and dApp development with groundbreaking WebAssembly support. Staked currently supports Algorand, Tezos, LivePeer, Cosmos, Dash, Decreed and others. On Perlin, we were attracted by a big vision that we think has strong real-world potential, Staked CEO Tim Ogilvy told CoinDesk, adding, "It's also important that we support our customers' investments. Many of the Perlin investors are existing customers of ours. A Big Four audit firm lost $1 million in Bitcoin. Victims are losing patience. The takeaway, Quadriga CXS former users are running out of patience with Miller Thompson and EY, the court-appointed companies tasked with recovering their missing funds. The users want more transparency into ICE investigation of Quadriga's missing funds, as well as a better understanding of how the audit firm accidentally lost 103 Bitcoin, now worth over $1 million, earlier this year. Some users are contemplating finding new legal representation due to their frustrations with Miller Thompson. Former Quadrigots X users are losing patience with their court-appointed lawyers and looking for answers about how more than 100 Bitcoins were inadvertently lost. Quadrigots X, once Canada's largest crypto exchange, collapsed virtually overnight earlier this year after CEO Gerald Cotton died while traveling in India. An affidavit filed by Cotton's widow said the exchange owed customers as much as $190 million, $250 million CAD. The Nova Scotia Supreme Court, which is overseeing the company's unwinding, appointed Big Four auditor Ernst & Young (EY) as monitor to try to recover funds for the exchange's customers, and law firms Miller Thompson & Cox & Palmer, Miller Thompson's Nova Scotia-based local partner, as counsel to represent these customers' interests. However, some of these creditors believe Miller Thompson and EY are failing to keep costs down or recover user funds. Much of this frustration stems from the 103 bitcoins that were accidentally transferred into wallets whose passwords were known only to the late founder, several creditors told CoinDesk. Unless the passwords are recovered, there's no way to get the bitcoin back. The blunder occurred in February, and at the time, the lost Bitcoin was worth some $375,000, $500,000 CAD. The coins are now worth about $1.03 million, $1.37 million CAD. 6 months on, EY has not provided much in the way of detail explaining how the Bitcoin was transferred to what are effectively locked wallets. In a report published in late February, the firm said the transfer occurred due to a platform setting error. "This sounds like gross negligence to us and many of us want to hold EY accountable for what happened," Ali Musavi, one of the creditors, told CoinDesk, adding, "Instead of giving us the details, they struck a deal with Miller Thompson to keep the details confidential and are making it harder for us to hold EY accountable." EY, he said, was tasked with the court to recover funds, and EY was not able to return the funds. Frustrated with Miller Thompson's failure to hold ICE feet to the fire, creditors are even discussing their options with outside counsel. "A lot of people want Miller Thompson replaced," creditor Zaitong Zhou said, "although I don't think that's going to happen." Miller Thompson declined to comment on the record. EY did not respond to a request for comment. See no evil? Some creditors said they feel they've been taken advantage of. Matt McPherson told CoinDesk that to him, the most disappointing aspect of the situation is that Miller Thompson won't even acknowledge any fraud whatsoever took place, referring to EY reports that Cotton used customer funds to margin trade cryptocurrencies like Dogecoin and Amisigo, as well as purchase personal items. Musavi specified that creditors are looking for more transparency about how fees are spent and what exactly ICE investigators are looking at. While he would not comment for this article, Iqbal acknowledged the creditors' concerns Thursday. He wrote, "It's hard to defend myself in a public forum like this. I can understand if some users are frustrated and wish to vent those frustrations here. It's not appropriate for me to engage on those criticisms. I'd appreciate if you left committee members out of it. They volunteer their time to do the best they can and deserve appreciation." China's digital fiat wants to compete with Bitcoin, but it's not a crypto. The takeaway: A review of over 50 patent applications submitted by the People's Bank of China shows the design of its central bank digital currency will only resemble a cryptocurrency in limited ways. A senior official at the central bank said the effort will be helpful to restrain public's demands for crypto assets and to strengthen the country's sovereign currency. Far from emulating the decentralized aspects of Ether and Bitcoin, the official emphasized the issuance of the central bank's digital currency will stick to a centralized management model. China may be about to launch a fiat digital currency, but in all likelihood, it will only resemble a cryptocurrency on the surface. And it probably won't use a blockchain. While inspired to some degree by Bitcoin and the like, the effort is explicitly framed as a strategy to beat them back. The project was thrust into the spotlight last weekend when a senior official from the People's Bank of China, PBOC, said at a closed-door conference that the country's central bank digital currency, CBDC, is ready to launch. In his speech, widely covered in the press, Changchun Mu, deputy director at the PBOC's payments division, notably said, "Since last year, the staff at the Digital Currency Research Lab have been working 996 to develop the system. We can say the CBDC is now ready to launch at one's call." 996 is a phrase commonly used in the Chinese tech startup scene, referring to working from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., 6 days a week. The CBDC aims to replace MO, meaning cash in circulation, via a two-tier system. The central bank issues the digital yuan only to commercial banks, who will further issue it to the public, Mu said. This approach is perhaps unsurprising since Yao Qian, the former chief of the research lab, hinted at this design in an op-ed published in CoinDesk in 2017. However, one comment from Mu that got overlooked by many is that he believes the two-tier issuance system will be helpful to restrain the public's demands for crypto assets and strengthen the country's sovereign currency. Mu did not elaborate on how everyday users would interact with this proposed mechanism or to what extent the CBDC really employs distributed ledger technology. And it remains unclear when the central bank plans to test and roll it out, or, upon its launch, whether it will be optional or mandatory for Chinese consumers. But dozens of patent applications submitted by the research lab to China's State Intellectual Property Office reviewed by CoinDesk offer a window into the PBOC's thinking on how the system may function and its similarities and, more importantly, differences with crypto. Crypto-inspired. The PBOC's Digital Currency Research Lab was formally launched in the summer of 2017 and spearheaded by Yao Qian, although Mu indicated the work has been ongoing for 5 years. Yao left the position for a different agency around October 2018. To date, the lab has filed more than 50 patent applications, all either invented or co-invented by Yao, and about 20 of those focus on design specifications of a so-called digital currency wallet. Each document covers a specific technology feature of the proposed system, ranging from how to apply for and create a wallet, how to transfer money to and from saving accounts, how a peer-to-peer transaction is verified, etc. The goal is to build a wallet to store digitized yuan that is unlike the electronic wallets of any bank or third-party payments application. Those wallets, one patent document says, are merely an extension of assets held in custody at a bank account. As such, the approach borrows the idea from Bitcoin of a peer-to-peer transaction system where users possess private keys to control the asset. One patent application, entitled A Method and System for Inquiring Digital Currency Transaction Information filed on December 28, 2017, describes a digital currency wallet that aims to bridge the gap between existing electronic wallets and private quasi-digital currency wallets, like that of Bitcoin. The former is not an independent wallet, which may incur security issues, and the latter, while allowing users to personally possess their assets, does so in an anonymous way with transactions of that can't be reversed, the document further states. Another patent application added, "The emergence of digital currency is an inevitable trend. So far, privately issued digital currency bears the features of anonymity and volatility. Central banks must take their impacts on the payments, monetary systems and financial stability seriously. As such, it's inevitable for central banks to push for digitized fiat currencies to optimize their circulation." KYC at Digital Yuan. And one crucial way to optimize such circulation appears to be stripping the anonymity feature of cryptocurrencies and including a Know Your Customer (KYC) process required by other payment methods. So far, physical cash is arguably the only form of fiat money inside China that can remain anonymous, compared to bank wire or third-party methods offered by companies like Alibaba or WeChat, both requiring real name verification authenticated by users' IDs and banking information. Existing MO, banknotes and coins, are subject to counterfeit and money laundering risks. The CBDC system should follow the existing rules about anti-money laundering and anti-terrorism financing imposed on cash, and should report to the PBOC on large amounts and suspicious transactions, Mu emphasized during his speech. His note echoes the design specifications entailed by various patent applications for the proposed peer-to-peer digital currency wallets. For example, the patent application on how to apply and create digital wallets filed on December 28, 2017 stated that the system lets users apply through their banks and the creation of such digital currency wallets will be registered at the issuance organization. Another document detailing how to redeem the CBDC from saving accounts filed on June 26, 2017 explained that after a user sends a request to withdraw money from their saving accounts similar to withdrawing from an ATM, except now it's not cash but in a P2P wallet, the corresponding issuers will need to verify a user's ID before granting the redemption. And after that, when a user initiates a payment transaction from the independent digital wallet, a third party will verify who is sending how much to whom. A third document detailing this method states, a sender would authorize a payment deduction request to a receiver's digital currency wallet. The receiver would verify such request, which will then be sent to the CBDC issuance registration system. The payment will complete after the verification of such request by the system. In addition, another document specifies a system that aims to customize a tracking solution to make the CBDC traceable even across multiple owners and layers. All of this, of course, is a far cry from Bitcoin, where there is no central authority. Anyone can download software and create a wallet without presenting ID, and payments can be made without any middleman's permission. Decentralized no more? Another open question as to what degree the PBOC's digital currency system may include the features of blockchain, if at all. One of the earliest patent documents filed more than 2 years ago detailed that the central bank did at one point explore the idea of using a distributed network to manage nodes for verifying transactions. This technology would empower smart contracts on a blockchain infrastructure to dynamically manage nodes in the network to ensure they share and transact the same data with security and scalability, the doc stated. Mu's speech also alluded to this approach but added that the strategy has indeed changed over the years. At the very beginning, the research lab did build a prototype completely on blockchain infrastructure but later encountered the issue of scalability, he said, adding, since we are using digital fiat currency to replace MO, to reach a retail-level adoption, the first issue that we can't bypass is the demand for high-volume transactions. Mu used the example of a shopping holiday popular among young people in China to show how blockchains aren't suitable for mass adoption. Our payments network during last year's Singles' Day sale at its peak handled 92,771 transactions per second. In comparison, Bitcoin and Ethereum handle 7 and 10 to 20 transactions per second, respectively. Facebook's Libra, based on its recently released white paper, is 1,000 transactions per second. For a country as big as China, it's impossible to achieve high scalability by purely relying on blockchain. As such, we have decided to remain technologically neutral and do not necessarily rely on one fixed technological path. He concluded in his speech that although crypto assets have the natural feature of decentralization, the PBOC's digital currency, under the two-tier system, must stick to a centralized management model. Only designated organizations can operate the redemption and needs to be centrally managed to prevent over-issuance and to ensure the central bank's management position, he said. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.